Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so bizarre, America had to create an anti-weaponization czar. In a world so corrupt, it will be a nightmare to disrupt and reconstruct. In such a world, a perfect example of Luciferian inversion, we are about to be exposed to the filthiest of all perversion, watching those entrusted with America's future raping young children and selling their souls, and all to meet their extravagant financial goals. And the worst part about it, and make no mistake, it's all shit. They would do it again. They don't want to quit. These misguided bastards have become so accustomed and entitled to rape and plunder, they never thought their little game would ever be torn asunder. But the question that rolls around in our heads each night as we lay in our beds, when will these demons be brought to justice and torn to shreds? Welcome back, martini heads. Hello, hello, hello. I raise my glass to you. Where's my glass? It is being raised. You can't see it, but I'm raising it to my lips, actually. Not bad at all. If you are joining us with, I might have made that with a little bit too much of the distilled spirit. If you are joining us for the first time, be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. Because as Pete Hegseth put it so nicely, we are done with that shit. We, martini heads, are not woke. We did not take the fake vaccine poke. We don't do critical race theory or any other BS churned out by the transhuman to post-human brigade. You know, the cult of Lucifer, dedicated to destroying any semblance of sovereignty and union with the divine. This is also the show where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits, and what a lovely combination that is. In fact, let me have a sip of my drinky poo to see if it's a winner or a sinner. Well, I already did that, but I'm just going to have another sip right now. Let it dance all over my tongue. Different flavors, different parts of the tongue. This is a very interesting little drink. It's from a vintage book. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show, but I'm very happy with it. Very happy with it. Well, my darlings, safe in the knowledge that I will be completely tiddled by the end of the show, what shall we do today? I think we should start, as we always do, with quack. Questions, answers, and comments. After all, quack is the reason we started this show, to hear the voices of we the people, and I am happy to say, we the people apparently have a lot to say. After quack, I will torment you with some of my sillier poetry, and we will have a short but lovely segment on awesome American civics and history, and finish strong, as we always do, with the cocktail du jour. And I must say, I am quite pleased with today's selection. So, moving on to Quack, if you would like to share the magnificent morsels of mayhem rolling around in your minds with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, because nobody else will read them, Ani@aniavadisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Ani, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And should your letter be plucked from the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and shared with the world, don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will refer to you as Omit Personal Details. So, well, let's get on with it now. Let's get on with it. Let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky, I'm a shaky, shaky. Give it a little bit of a shifty. Push up those little papers. You know, all those little bits of paper that I've pulled off my printer and stuck into this fishbowl. And today's first missive is from Freddie, who lives in Eugene, Oregon. And Freddie asks, what exactly has this hero of yours achieved so far beyond violently shaking up the shoebox? Freddie, who is my hero? To whom might you be referring? And what is the shoebox? I think you're probably referring to the president, Donald J. Trump. I assume you're referring to Trump. I don't have a need for heroes, Freddie, but I do show appreciation whenever and wherever it is deserved. I have a great deal of respect for Big T. And this will not surprise those who know me well. I am my own hero. Well, Freddie, let's see. What have we achieved? The world's biggest paedophile, human trafficking and money laundering rings are being exposed, pending prosecution. And guess what? Most of them are people who serve in Congress or state and local government. Well, that's big. I mean, I wouldn't dismiss that. What else? The fact that our tax dollars are being used to fund politicians' private accounts. How big is that? I would say that's pretty big. So my tax dollars go to Bernie Sanders and people of that ilk, and, you know, they let Bernie Sanders buy another home. Or take another private flight out of the slush fund that's my money that's going into American infrastructure, or so I thought. That's big. What else have we done? We have stopped the population replacement protocols by slamming the border shut and deporting those who came here without vetting and without permission. That's a crime, you see. I don't understand why people don't grasp this. If you think open borders are a good idea, then go ahead and invite total strangers into your home. Let them hang out with your teenage daughters. Let them share drugs with your children, and let them rape your children. And then I'm sure you'll feel obliged after that to feed them and give them shelter while drugs and raping continues. Do you not see how stupid it sounds when you put it that way? But honestly, the people who do this, most of them are so lost to the demons of greed and lust, they would probably allow their children to be abused if it meant a continuous flow of money into their corrupt coffers. And let us not forget that this administration is working diligently to rescue these poor children, the ones kept as broodmares, slaves, and the ones prepared for human sacrifice and adrenochrome. And this administration is committed to rehabilitating them as far as is possible. And believe me, in some cases, a merciful death would be the compassionate choice. When you see some of the things that some of us have seen, it changes you in very deep and profound ways, and you lose a great deal of grace and patience for the perpetrators of these heinous crimes. What else? Oh, we are challenging the IRS. Yes. What are we doing with the IRS? Are we saying they're corrupt? Yes, we are. We're actually saying they're illegal. We're challenging the IRS's right to exist. We're challenging the legitimacy of the Federal Reserve as well. This is all pretty big stuff. What else? We are openly talking about the Hillary Clinton murder-suicide machine. Hillary Clinton has so many friends, and they all die under mysterious circumstances. What else have we done? We have proved beyond all doubt that Democrats and some rhinos are taking money directly from cartel bosses. Cartel bosses. All to undermine American values and destroy the American dream by destroying American cities, society, and infrastructure. Anything else? Ooh, let me think. We have found billions of dollars in wasteful spending, some of it due to inefficiency, and that would be the inefficiency that comes with turning what should be a small, limited government into a bureaucratic behemoth. But most of it is due to purposeful corruption, outright theft of American money channeled into the accounts of politicians and bureaucrats, most of whom should be tried and hanged for treason. I doubt we will see that happen on live TV. I know many of us want to see it, and it does need to happen, whether televised or not. I'm all for public executions, actually, in these circumstances, because the scope is just huge. You know, to be honest, I really will say I am all for public executions, rather like the ones we had around World War II. And I think we the people need to see a few of those, because we need to see actual closure, not just words. What else have we achieved? Let me think. Let me take a sip of my drinky poo-poo and see. I'm going to take it very slowly with this drink. I may have put in too much of the distilled spirit. We'll see. The balance is quite nice, though. What else have we achieved? We have pointed out the dangerous growth of radical Islam in the West. You know, I personally, as we know, because I tell it to all ad nauseum, I believe all religions are human constructs and have nothing to do with God, but religion will be the last idol to fall. Now, Christianity is not currently on the rampage, threatening to destroy all the infidels and declaring all non-believers worthy of death. Radical Islam, however, is, and why the West allows organizations that are banned in places like Saudi Arabia, which, you know, may have a cool prince right now, but it's not known exactly for its groovy, chill, and lenient ways. You know, why do we allow radical Islam to operate in the West when it's banned in Saudi Arabia and the East? You know, this is ridiculous. I mean, here's the shit, here's the fan. Let's put all those imams in a can and kick it down the road for once and for all. What else? What else? Let's not forget the biggest deal in the making from the best deal maker on the planet, Big T, an end to perpetual warfare, which has always been the bottom line funding for the bad guys. See, Trump is an arbitrator. That's his archetype. He's an arbitrator, a deal maker, a peacemaker. The fact that this is met with such disgust and derision from the left and the Rhino faction tells us all we need to know. You know, I think some of these guys and gals will allow their own parents to be abused as long as the cash keeps coming. But unfortunately for them, the cash is no longer coming. What is coming is a different kind of cash, a cash with a K and a slightly darker complexion. Yes, that cash. And that cash is a little pit bull on crack. Woof. And with Bongino at his side, big woof, woof. We have the woofers in there. Oh, let's not forget Doge, the FAFO department, exposing all the laundered money, you know, that it was revealed that the USA, my tax dollars, were used to prop up just about every major world domination organization on the planet, from WHO to the UN to Lord knows what. And we call this endless bureaucratic buggery because that is what it is. Freddie, darling, that is a partial list. It's just an amuse-bouche of what is in process and what is yet to come. There is so much more to come. Best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Just wait until they are up against the wall, all in a line. On that day, babe, I will be on cloud nine. Freddie, really, was that a silly question or what? We have proper leadership now. Strong leadership, committed to America's founding principles, for the most part. We are instilling a sense of national pride. That's what America First is all about. Love your nation and work to make it better from the inside out, not work to destroy it by inviting foreign elements in to dismantle it. This is all about sovereignty, baby. A return to personal accountability and common sense, citizens growing into the very best version of themselves, which can only result in what's best for the country. What else are we doing? Reworking the meaning of secure borders and legitimate immigration? Oh my, is that a worthy cause? Somebody somewhere is finally doing what is best for the country, and not for the pocketbooks of corrupt politicians. We are making our military strong once again. You know, a well-oiled fighting machine and national protection machine, and not littered with gender-confused non-deployable people with serious mental health issues. This is so big. The military was an embarrassment with men dressed in dresses, pretending to be women and pretending to be deployable fighting people, and they're not. They're people with serious mental health issues who cannot be deployed because clearly they need drugs. What else are we doing in the military? Well, I think we said there's no need to spend our money on making more people non-deployable. Instead, let's put the money where it really belongs. Into veteran care. If we're going to care for sick military, let's not care for people who go in there and, you know, specifically because they are sick. Let's care for our veterans who are traumatized by what they've seen and all the things that they've done in the service of their country. I mean, previously, actually, we have to be honest, it's not really in the service of their country, is it? It's in the service of major corporations. But going forward, it will be in the service of our country. What else are we doing? Now that you ask, Freddie, I think I'm going to go on a bit of a rant. We're closing the loopholes in birthright citizenship. We're putting an end to chain migration. Think about it. This is a very, very good thing. If your country is going to thrive, if you're all going to stay alive and thrive in this country, we have to completely overhaul every aspect of immigration. Along those lines, I believe we are trimming and strengthening the asylum process. And part of that means we're going after people who overstay their visas. I think it's just the sign, a sign of the times, the sign of how ridiculous things have been. You can just apply for asylum and you get in there and then they go, well, there you go. Go out into America somewhere and do something and maybe we'll catch up with you when your visa expires. I mean, what stupidity is this? What lunacy is this? So we have to modernize, and we are modernizing the entire immigration system because it is woefully outdated. Woefully. Woe is me. What else are we doing? Annie, have a sip of your drink. It'll come to you. What else are we doing? Aha! I believe we are putting an end to sanctuary cities. Thank you, God. Sanctuary cities, a ridiculous idea that can only be supported by those who benefit financially from it and by default care not one jot about America. It is amazing, isn't it? I keep going back to this one perfect line that I heard in the most recent remake of the television program Westworld. And one of the humanoid looking robots said, given the right amount of money, any human relationship can be altered. And if we all sit and really think about that, we're all whores. We just need to find the price. I mean, if someone said to you, would you kill this person who you have no knowledge of, and it's all safe and you'll never be caught, but would you put a bullet through this person's head and we'll give you $5 million? You might consider it. If they said, if we give you $50 million, you might actually go for it. But then if they renegotiated and said, well, we'll give you $5,000, you'd probably say something along the lines of, what kind of a person do you think I am that would kill for $5,000? And the correct response to that would be, we know what kind of a person you are. We're just trying to negotiate the fee here. What else are we doing? We are salvaging American industry, which was purposefully destroyed by globalist scumbags. And we will not only salvage it, but rebuild it through the tariff policies, which are not just economic ploys for no good reason. It's about rebuilding American sovereignty and ensuring that future generations inherit a future worth protecting, something worth living for. We are moving away from big corporate greed and investing once again in small business. This is something this administration really takes seriously. You know, and that's where we the people need to be very proactive in our own communities. We are examining the pros and cons of deregulation and the cost of doing business. What else? Thanks to RFK Jr. accepting his seat at the new round table, we have officially identified American healthcare as having nothing to do with healthcare, but with profits, pure and simple. It's not healthcare. It is sick care. And that has to end. The food and drug industry has made Americans the fattest and the sickest and in the slowest and the stupidest on the planet. And that is simply unacceptable because this is America, for God's sakes. You know, this whole obesity thing, it's a mental health crisis. It's not just physical. If you let your body grow into a big lump of fat, how is your brain going to work? How's your heart going to work? How is anything going to work? Our food is filled with crap, but try buying organic and fresh without breaking the bank. I mean, I personally, myself, I am so blessed. I have friends with gardens who throw good non-spray veggies at me once in a while. And if any of my friends are listening, is it zucchini season yet? Bring me all your zucchini. I will take all of your surplus green vegetables and carrots too. And some little, those little new potatoes, if you have any of those. You know, the healthcare is a giant money-eating bureaucracy. That's what it does. Nom nom, give me your money, nom nom, and I'll give you drugs and sell you more drugs, because that's really what it's all about. Every part of our healthcare needs to be reformed, from the pricing, which is nonsensical, to better access to care, to reducing the cost of services, prescriptions, and all that, to overhauling this monstrous administrative process, to getting rid of misguided affordable healthcare ventures, to increasing access to preventative healthcare. And we need a big boost in dealing with mental health, which is a crisis in our country for so many reasons. Let's not forget, we are now challenging the fake green climate agenda. Again, that has nothing to do with the betterment of mankind, but more to do with the destruction of mankind and making Mother Earth a suitable environment for species other than humans. What did she just say? Oh, I'll tell you. She said the destruction of mankind and making Mother Earth a suitable environment for species other than humans. What? You didn't see that coming? Perhaps we all need to practice connecting dots. And let's move on to petroleum, oil. Oil, by the way, you know, the stuff we process into what we call gas, gasoline here and petrol in the UK, the stuff that we put in our cars. It is not the finite resource they say it is. And I want to talk about that in more detail on another show. What else? What else now that I'm on a roll? We are looking at the amount of land, arable land, purchased by foreign companies, especially China, and by Lucifer's bum boy, the Bill Gates of hell. And let's not forget the bigger picture, which is the return to sanity and common sense. Boys are boys and girls are girls. How could anyone not see that men in women's sports is the exact opposite of female dignity and sovereignty? If you support it, if you think there's nothing wrong with it, you have fallen into the Luciferian inversion trap. Your mind is no longer your own, and you have become a whiny little moron who deserves to be put into a padded cell and given nourishing soups and crusts of fresh bread to play with. You know, darlings, I have to say this, the reason they want us all gender confused and into all types of sex is because that's what they do at the very top. They are genderless penetrators and absolutely debased perverts. More about that on another show. Although, you know, people keep telling me, can you talk about something happy? Well, yes, I can, I suppose. But, you know, I'm not going to make stuff up. This is what's happening. You ask me, what have we achieved? What has this man done other than, you know, shake about a shoebox? Well, I'm telling you, I'm not even through it. Oh, something else. We discovered that public broadcasting is as corrupt as legacy media, which I think anybody in their right mind already knew. And oh my God, that little firecracker, what's her name? The little cute blonde one, Carolyn Leavitt. She has put a fire up the arse of the press corps big time. And it's a wonderful thing to behold. And she's so young. What is she, 28? She's under 30. And she is kicking butt for Team America. Anything else you want to discuss today, Arnie? Yes, I think so. We are putting a stop to the Department of Education turning our children and young adults into morons. We refuse to fund anything anti-American now and anything that goes against common sense, which is also known as natural law. And oh, this is a biggie. Ooh, it's a biggie. We identified this unofficial fourth branch of government, the bureaucracy. The fourth branch. You know what? There isn't a fourth branch of government. There isn't. There isn't supposed to be. So that is being dismantled. We are also in the process of identifying corrupt judges. Those, some may be playing both sides, some may be deep plants, some may be good, I don't know. But, you know, most of them took the devil's money and probably buggered a few kids along the way to be deemed worthy of such handsome paybacks. So shall we say we are engaged in massive judicial overhaul. Currently in progress, people. Watch this space. Oh, what about the federal workforce? Did we not take control of it? That was amazing. How many empty buildings? How many thousands of people working from home and barely logging in? That's a big one. Oh, and how about investing in making more American babies to offset the plan to kill us and replace us with foreign gangbangers who enjoy having drinks with corrupt Democrats? Shall I go on? Let me go on. How about a complete overhaul of our aging infrastructure? You don't hear too much about that, but much is being done to repair it. And of course, the main reason for the dreadful state it is in is due to our money being laundered away from the country and into other accounts, which are then distributed to people according to the level of corruption previously agreed upon. How about the fact that we are addressing the assault on our God-given rights of free speech and the right to bear arms to defend ourselves? If you can't say what you want to say, and if you don't have the right to defend yourself, you have no rights. And I think as we discuss sovereignty being the key word going forward, we have to also understand what God-given rights means. I don't care if you're an atheist, call it cosmos-given rights. It's natural law. If you don't have the right of free speech and the right to defend your person, then you are not living in a free country. The only ones who want perpetual war are the ones living at the very top, living off the super rich cream that war generates. The rest of the world shares a common interest. We want to live in peace. We want to have money. We want to thrive, not just survive. We don't want to just hope that there's something left at the end of the month so that we can buy our partner or our kids a little treat. And Trump's amazing skill at deal making has proved beyond all doubt that all we want is peace, prosperity, and civil cooperation. I mean, look at his recent Middle Eastern tour. Oh my gosh. I mean, I was just, I think my partner burst out crying, watching the reception that was given to him by these mega wealthy, mega macho males of the Middle East. That was respect for Trump, and that respect is shared by all Americans. We are now supporting law enforcement. What a quaint notion. We're allowing them to do their jobs. How would you feel if you were a Rosa, as we say back in the UK, if you were a cop and you kept arresting the same felons over and over again for the same crimes, only to have some dimwit indoctrinated and paid for judge release them? How would you feel? If the system doesn't support our officers, they will become corrupt because they will look elsewhere for satisfaction. And that could and does take us down the rabbit hole of infinite and not so good possibilities. What we're trying to do here, Freddie, is ensure a wonderful, bountiful future for Americans. We will reclaim our national sovereignty. We will revitalize the economy and base it on something rather more concrete than silly little numbers floating about in some bean counter's head somewhere. We will strengthen all things national security, and we will reevaluate our position and role in global leadership. When we stopped putting all of this money into these world domination organizations and giving foreign governments a whole bunch of money for what? I mean, circumcising people or teaching Afghans about gender dysphoria or teaching Armenians how to make kebabs. I don't know. I mean, the list of all the things that we lied about to get this money out of the country is ridiculous. We will reclaim national pride. We will. We will teach American civics and history, and we will raise generations of proactive Americans who will live the American dream and share it with those who not only share our values, but upon becoming citizens, will work hard to uphold that dream. And finally, when all is unsealed, revealed, and healed, we will drop this ridiculous notion of religion and multi-party government and step into self-realization and one American assembly with no career politicians, but a rotation of citizen legislatures. And people say to me, and you know, I get this a lot, Arnie, that sounds like a wonderful libertarian dream, but no one's going to do it. And my response is, well, you may not want to do it, you lazy so-and-so, but I'll do it. I know everybody in my Telegram group will do it. Every person I know who's a patriot will do it. Well, Freddie, darling, there you have it. And now because I decided to pontificate at length, I have no time to answer other questions. But I promise, I will empty the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity on the next podcast. So that's it today for Quack. Now, darlings, keep those letters coming because that's why we started the show. Oh, this drink is growing on me. I'm warming to its theme. So yeah, keep the questions coming. If I don't get to them, you know, I'll get to them on the next one. But the only ones I don't answer are the ones that are so ridiculous or stupid or insulting that they just, you know, I just shred those. What should we do now? What should we do now? I think it's time for a tiny pat of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky-poo, and writing really dreadful but occasionally brilliant non-peer-reviewed poetry. Darlings, if you enjoy my rhymes, you can follow me on Substack. It's under my name, Ani Avedisian, so it's easy to find and it's free. And even easier, go to my homepage on my website, aniavedisian.com, and look for the Substack link on the left-hand side of the screen. You know, I think of myself, well, quite a lot, because I'm quite self-absorbed, but I think of myself as a patriot poet, and I'm documenting the times through my rhymes. Some are serious, some are not. Some are just okay, but most are smoking hot. And it's my goal that in a, say, 500 years from now, an archaeologist or anthropologist, historian, somebody will come across my poems and go, oh my God, these are the musings of an average person living at that time during the Trump administration and leading up to the great reveal, the great awakening of America. And even though I'll be long dead and gone and all of that, and I do maintain I don't want a marker on my grave, I just want to be composted into a tree. It'll be wonderful to know that somewhere along the line, somebody's going to come across my poems and have a bit of a giggle. So here we are. Let's see. What I've chosen today are two. This one is called By the Book and Miss the Point. And it's my little rant on why metaphysics books just cherry pick and don't teach you the tenets properly. So here we go. Me, 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 me. Written by yours truly, titled By the Book and Miss the Point. I understand the need to meet people where they are. If we don't meet them there, we won't get very far. The thing I find annoying and potentially soul-destroying is the constant cherry-picking of the ideals they are transmitting. If you are going to share the tenets, and tenets should be shared, you have to share them all, lest the message be impaired. They all must be addressed, with not one above the rest, and explained in full, never compressed. The law of attraction was thusly singled out, because all things acquisition carry major clout. The law itself is valid. We pick and choose our incarnation salad, but focus on acquisition colors our souls pallid. Here is the part they don't explain, and it's the part that causes most pain. None of these laws will work for you unless to thine own self you are true. Once you accept you are divine without measure, that's when you receive your version of treasure. I often receive emails from people saying, your affirmations aren't working, so-and-so's affirmations aren't working, I keep repeating them, nothing changes. And so for the 10 millionth time, and I will say this, you know, ad nauseum, until the day I die probably, affirmations don't make things real. You write the words in an affirmation because the tenet is real. For example, I am as God created me. I am as perfect as the moment of my creation. It is my father's good pleasure to give me all the riches in his kingdom, if you're religious and want to use that kind of language. You're not saying those to make them true. They are true. But you don't believe they're true, because you don't believe you are a manifestation of source energy. You don't believe that at your core, that's all you are. Pure, unblemished, cosmic, divine potential, having this temporary individualized experience as a human, which is temporal, fleeting, one little chapter in your book of everlasting eternal life. Focus not on the affirmations. Focus on looking in the mirror and going, I am Source. That is what I really am. I am God in a bod. Wrap your mind around the fact that everything that exists in Source exists within you as a perfect molecular structure. There is nothing you cannot do if you do not. You must align. That's it. You have to believe you are divine. It is a major mindset shift. And when you shift and you get into that gear, suddenly life is divine, serendipitous, synchronicity, splendid things all around you. It's not the affirmation. It's the mindset from mortal to divine, from tragic to divine magic. Let's do another little poem. Just to torment you further, I'm in a tormenting mood. This one is titled, We Have a New Pope. Now, let's get the rope. Here we go. Black smoke, white smoke, all these blokes need to be choked. They should pay the big price for the altar boys they poked. Men in pretty red dresses try to impress us with their arrogant charade on full parade. So many nasty secrets, none are heaven made. All are depraved, rotten and decayed. God does not desire worship. That part is the church's entrepreneurship. God does not require obedience or damnation. The divine asks only for representation, a direct knowing of one's cosmic identity without the filter of a perverted prelacy. Why do people swear allegiance to such gross malfeasance? They will fall, one by one, all the whores and their demons, for God is never outdone. But good luck to the nuns. This too shall be revealed. Lucifer is enthroned in the Vatican City. Soon all shall be healed. Fair warning, it won't be pretty. Feeble minds are easily offended. That's how our world became upended. Well, that's my poetry contribution for this show. There will be more for this show because I wake up every morning and I write 5 or 6 poems. It's an exercise to make me a better writer. And now, my darlings, let's grab a little drinky poo. I'm drinking very slowly today. And good thing, too, because I did make this a little bit too strong. Let's grab a juicy, juicy little tidbit from awesome American civics and history. Now, today is more of a concept thing. It's not a quiz. I've got 6 questions for you. You're not going to be able to answer them right away, I don't think. But I want you to ponder them. These 6 questions are very important if you consider yourself an American citizen and an American citizen who understands his country, his or her country, what it represents, somebody who's going to take and play a very meaningful role in America's future. If you are that person, you are going to be able to answer all of these 6 questions. So let's start. Question number 1. Do you understand the historical and philosophical foundation of our country's ideas about constitutional government? Do you understand the historical and philosophical foundation of our country's ideas about constitutional government. Would you be able, for example, to give a few minutes talk on it? Question number two. Could you give, say, a 3 to 5 minute talk on the creation of the Constitution? Could you give a 3 to 5 minute talk on the creation of the Constitution? And I'm not talking a PhD dissertation here. I'm thinking, you know, without actually looking anything up, could you do that? Question number three. What do you know about the expansion of rights since the ratification of the Constitution in 1788? What do you know about the expansion of rights since the ratification of the Constitution in 1788? Question number four. Could you give, again, a 3 to 5 minute presentation on the organization of national government? Could you give a short presentation on the organization of national government? Question number five. Do you understand the meaning of the various rights guaranteed in the Bill of Rights? Do you understand the meaning of the various rights guaranteed in the Bill of Rights? Very important that you do understand those. And question number six. What is the role of a citizen in an American democracy? And is democracy the correct word? What is the role of a citizen in an American democracy? And is democracy the correct word? Now, my darlings, if we can't answer those questions in a meaningful way, I suggest purchasing a copy of We the People, the Citizen and the Constitution, Levels 1, 2, 3, published by the Center for Civic Education. I think these are designed for high school, but given the lack of education in the last decade, two decades, 3 decades almost, you know, with regard to American history and civics, I think that high school level education is what most adults need. That's where we need to begin. When I became an American citizen, it was the greatest moment of my life thus far. And I want to share with you the oath that I took along with a whole bunch of other people in that room who were very, very excited to be there. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms, oh damn, yes, I will bear arms, on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. And I take that oath, I took that oath, and I will honor that oath as long as we have a legitimate government. I became a citizen under the Biden administration, which I hope doesn't mean I'm not a citizen. I mean, I doubt that, but I will obey and I will literally honor that oath under this administration and under any legitimate administration. Back in the day, I had to jump through hoops back in England just to get a green card. And that was 1989. I think I started the process in 87. It took 2 years for me to get a green card to be allowed to enter America legally. I was thoroughly vetted. And, you know, how do you think it makes people like me feel to watch gangbangers and murderers being entertained by Democrat senators, while American citizens whose homes and lives have been destroyed are ignored? To these people, I can only say, you have messed with the Star Spangled. You will be wrangled, and then, no doubt, most of you will be dangled. Because what is the punishment for treason? Could well be execution. What is the punishment for crimes against humanity? Could well be execution. You know, my fellow Americans, I do love saying that. From time to time, you know, we just have to stop and step back. Take a look at the dog and pony show that's going on today. Now, from my point of view, this war against evil has actually already been won because the timelines in planet Earth have finally stabilized. I compare it to the book has been written, or the play, the show has been written. We know what the ending is going to be, but we still have to play our parts, get up on the stage and read them aloud and, you know, act out the parts until it's all over. I'm not saying get the popcorn and just sit back. No, I'm saying know that it's a dog and pony show. Know that you don't have to buy into it. It's for the normies. It's for the people who have yet to awaken. You're already awake. So you know what it is, so you don't get upset by it. And you can use that time not just to become the best version of yourself. The best version of ourselves is really what we want to bring forward in any incarnation anyway. But we'll use this time to really figure out what our part in putting America first is. What is our individualized path, each of us? How do we contribute to making America great again? What is our part in it? And again, I will. Ooh, I need a drinky poo. That I got very dry. Hold on. Yummy, yummy, yummy in my tummy. You know, so what is our part in it? That's the thing. What can you do as an individual? There are so many of us that go, oh my God, when is it going to end? Oh my God, when are we going to hang them? Oh my God, when will the Epstein files? You know, no, we don't believe that Epstein didn't kill himself. I don't believe that Epstein didn't kill himself. I mean, what do I believe? I believe someone killed Epstein is what I'm trying to say after having drunk most of this drink. Cash and Bongino say that it was a suicide. I'm sure they have their reasons, but just because somebody on my side says something, I'm not going to go, well, I was wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. I very much doubt Epstein killed himself. So there's, you know, we're getting rid of the evil in the entire world. We are dismantling the evil in the entire world. Every single country, every single organization, from their federal to their corporate, to the state, to the local, down to the little village level council. All of it is corrupt. The Uni Party has been just given all this money by the deep state operatives. So this is not a little thing we are doing here. This is a very big thing. We are dismantling the evil in the entire world, which is deeply embedded down to the ground soil level. Literally, if you think about all the roundup that we have put into the groundwater, this is going to take a while. And where I'm going with that is we have to also accept that the white hats, the people who are saving the Republic, restoring the Republic, saving the planet, actually, we have to accept that they too have to play their little games, because that's what it looks like in the real world. And this administration, the white hats, are intent on slaughtering all of the black hats. And the way they're doing that is by swarming them, confusing them, then stepping back, then being quiet for a little bit, and then we have more guerrilla tactics. I mean, they're doing it properly. And I do believe that they are all good and honorable people. You know, otherwise they wouldn't be working as hard as they are. But that doesn't mean we have to agree with them on everything. And that doesn't mean that they are not playing their own little, you know, stealth games and covert activity games. I just want to put that out there. And just one more time, even though you know what's going on, we all know what's going on. Don't buy into the dog and pony show. Don't let it upset you. Step back. That's all in progress. Step back and figure out what it is that each of us can do to support the new America in the new golden age. Well, my darlings, I think that's pretty much most of it for today. I'm very close to finishing my drink, and that always means the end of the show. And speaking of drinks, today's was a vintage gem from my deceased father-in-law's 1948 edition of A Bartender's Guide by Trader Vic. Now, I can't say whether I cared much for my father-in-law one way or another. He was a decent enough chap, I suppose. But he did teach me to make a perfect Manhattan. And for that, I will forever be grateful. So, art up in heaven somewhere, assuming you made it to heaven, I hope you're enjoying a drink up there with God. Today's lovely libation was a daisy. It's called a daisy. And for those with no knowledge of vintage cocktails, a daisy is generally composed of a distilled spirit flavored with grenadine, which is pomegranate cordial, and lemon or lime juice. Now, this one's called a rum daisy, and here's how you make it. You take 1.5 ounces of Puerto Rican rum and the juice of half a lime and a good dash of grenadine. So in a shaker filled with cracked ice, squeeze the lime juice and drop it in the shaker. Add the rum and grenadine and shaky very well and pour without straining into an old-fashioned glass. It doesn't need dressing, but if you think of something complimentary, a fruit perhaps, let me know. You know, I'm actually partial to candied fruit with good quality maraschino cherries, you know, not the neon red crappy stuff for these cocktails. And I do admit, I put a small handful of cracked ice in the old-fashioned glass, but purists hate me for it. But, you know, I also hate purists, so it doesn't matter. It's a different cocktail. It's quite nice. You know, and anything from Trader Vic's Bartender is a fun little adventure, I think, into flavors long lost. Now, Arnie, yes, Arnie, what is Puerto Rican rum? It's rum from Puerto Rico. And today I'm using Don Q151, which is an excellent choice for a tiki-style drink and also for a little sip, you know, neat now and then, you know? Now, remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat, if you use top-shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously. One drink is all you need. I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Aberdissian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful, and a sincere thank you to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mysticalwares.com, online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Until we meet again, do your part to make America great again. And you can do that best by letting the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Alphadesian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.